And we talked about, you know, we did the very first part. It says, when you pray, he says, you know, how to pray. And then he gets down to verse 9 and he says, and our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we've discussed that. We actually spent the last, 3 weeks on that. Our Father who's in heaven, and then holy or hallowed be his name. So today I want to talk about his kingdom come. Say his kingdom come. His kingdom come. Okay, so as I get into this, I'm going to use this word this morning called rules. I'm going to use it a lot. And I don't want you to get offended by that, because a lot of people say, well, that's all the Bible is just a whole bunch of rules. And so you can pretend I'm saying parameters, or you could, you know, whatever. But, you know, I mean, the reality of it is he does have some rules, okay? And if we don't like it, I guess that really is going to become our issue, because that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, in a sense. So he says, your kingdom what? Your kingdom come. So we've discussed this, and the purpose of prayer is basically, is to what? To communicate with the Father honestly, openly, clearly, okay? So we don't talk to him like, oh, you know, it's even hard for me to fake it. And when I talk to God, I talk to God just like I talk to you. You know, and I've even been known to say, Father, how are you doing today? You know, like he's having a bad day or something, right? Yeah. You know, but the point is, you know, and then we discussed, I think last week, says he knows what we have need of before we even ask. Well, but he still wants to be involved in what we have need of. That's the thing. You know, he wants this communication. He wants this relationship. And really, when we come down to it, the purpose of prayer is this. Is to get heaven involved with the here and now, right? Yeah. Right? Isn't that why we pray? Yeah. Like, Lord, you know, this is... So we find out what the Word of God says, and we take that, and then that's what we say. This is His will for us, right? And then that's what we pray. It's like, Lord, I want this will, your will, to manifest itself in my life, in the here and the now. I don't want to wait to get to heaven, right, to get well. You know, some people say, well, that's just, you know, it's like, I realize one day I don't have to be sick. Bottom line, I don't have to be sick, okay? I might get attacked, I might have a fight on my hands, but bottom line is, I don't have to live that way, okay? And I choose not to live that way. If you want to, that's your business, not mine. Okay, but the next part of the prayer I want to cover is this: is it your kingdom come? Now, did you know I have a kingdom? It's called my house, right? You have a kingdom. It's called your house, right? And in guess what? I have rules in my house, right? And you probably have rules in your house. And my rules are probably not the same as your rules, and your rules are probably not the same, you know, as mine are. But when you come into my house, I got rules. Okay? For example, children. Don't have a lot of them in here right now, but we will. when kids come, because there's things kids like to do that's dangerous, right? Like slam doors. You know, I remember when our kids started getting a little bit older, and their friends would come over, and they'd be chasing each other around the house, and bam, the door slammed, and what I kept seeing was somebody's little hand in that door as it slammed. So we have a rule: you don't slam the doors. And the other rule we have is you don't jump on the beds, okay? Unless you're the grandkids. I actually have a picture of my two oldest grandsons on our bed jumping up and down. It's like, yeah, that's a rule. Don't jump on our bed, okay? But you know, you can get away. Another rule that we have in our house that you can't do is you can't go into my refrigerator and get the whipped cream and squirt it into your mouth. Unless you're one of the grandkids, and then the Nana will show you how to do that. I mean, that was never allowed in our house, never. And one day I walk into the kitchen, the grandkids are there, and there's soup. I go, what are you doing? If I'd have done that, she'd have divorced me, right? You're gone. You're out of here, you know. You got to be kidding me. But we have rules in our house. You can't smoke in my house, all right? You can't smoke in my house. You can't use profanity in my house, right? You can't get your shoes all muddy and go through my house. I learned that rule, you know. If you bring your boyfriend or girlfriend over to my house and you're going to spend the night and you're not married, you ain't not sleeping together in my house, and it's not going to happen. You know, there's just rules in my house. Now, if I go into your house and you have totally different rules, and I try to imply my rules into your house, what do we have? We have conflict, right? And vice versa. You know, so when I go into your house, I respect your rules. So we had some guys over for Thanksgiving, and one of my rules was we don't eat on the couch. And we didn't. And then when I went over to one of their houses the other day, and we were having breakfast together, and he says, we don't eat on the couch. It's like, really? You know, no. So we obey each other's rules, right, when we're in their house. So why is that? It's like, well, because it's what? It's my house. So we obey my rules, okay? So again, if we try to take our rules into somebody else's house or somebody else's into my house, then we're going to have a conflict, and that's not necessarily a good thing. So here's the thing. Right now, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, and I'm not talking about this building, you're in God's house. When you walk out those doors, you're in God's house. When you walk into your house, whether you agree with this or not, you're really in His house. When you walk into a store, you're in His house. When you walk out into the mountains, you're in His house. Okay, so Psalms 103, verse 19, he makes a statement. He says, the Lord has established His throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over what? All. Are we getting up on the board? Okay. Over all. Key word is what? All. In Psalm 145:13, he says, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. His dominion. Dominion. What does that mean, dominion? It is not just about elections. Dominion is not about elections, okay? Okay. It's about, you know, He's in charge. His dominion endures throughout all generations. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11 and 12, he says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesties. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. His, right? All. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. Did I get that up there? Okay, 11. Okay. And then verse 12 says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. So you see there's a key word here, all. You know, you can't just take that out. So God has a house, and He calls it a kingdom. Okay, and it involves all of creation. And whether we like it or not, a lot of us don't. He has rules. But the rules are is how His kingdom operates, so we need to be aware of those rules, right? So when you had teenagers at home, and they would go away, and they would visit some friends, and then they would be there for a day overnight or something, they would come home, and they'd go, hey, this is what Johnny gets to do at his house. And so I think we should get to do that in our house, right? So here we go. So this is what happens is people go, you know, they go away and they get some ideas on how things should be, and then they bring it back to your house and they want to implement those things in your house when it's not what you want to do in your house. When I was in high school, and we would travel to games every now and then, and I remember we went to this school and we were spending the night there, and the family that I was staying with, and when they fixed breakfast that morning, man, we had pancakes and eggs and waffles and eggs and bacon and ham. And we had, it was like a restaurant. And my thought was, this is how it should be. Because every morning we had one option, Bisquick pancakes. Every morning. I mean, like every morning. I mean, like every morning. For 18 years. Bisquick pancakes. Now, unless we were running short at the end of the month, because my dad got paid once a month. He worked for the state. He got paid once a month. If we ran out of pancakes, then we got cream of wheat. Okay. Don't ever offer me cream of wheat. Okay. Love you guys, but don't ever offer me Bisquick pancakes either. Okay. Yeah, or hominy. That's a different story for a different... But right. So that just doesn't work. Just because he comes home, they do it over there, doesn't mean that we're going to do it here. So we have opposing houses trying to bring in new ideas into our kingdom. Well, that's what happens when we try to bring in the world's way into God's way. Okay? God didn't create the world's way. He created his way. Okay? So the rules of the world can't become the house rules in God's kingdom. Right? You know, just like, I want to be able to do that. Well, that's not in his game plan. So I just want to say, you can be a Christian and not really obey all of God's rules. But where I'm going with this is not going to be good for you. Okay, things aren't going to work for you. All right, so when we take a look at that, the Greek word for kingdom in the Bible is basileia. And what it means is rule or authority. Okay, so that means he has authority or in his kingdom, right? So that means he's the ruler. And so when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we make him our Lord, which means our master, which means what he says is what goes in my life. That's how it's supposed to work, okay? So when we take a look at all the books in the Bible, 66 books in the Bible, you know, there's one main theme through the Bible. And I mean, there's several, but there's one of the main themes is that we're to give glory to God and that we're supposed to expand the kingdom of God. That's really, right? That's kind of where we're supposed to be. So in this prayer, he starts out relationally. You notice this? He says, Our Father. He doesn't start out with, okay, these are your rules. He starts out with what? Our Father. And then we declare where our Father is. He is in where? Heaven. And then he says, and then, because this is the model, he says, so our Father, we start out with a relationship, who art in heaven, who's located in heaven, holy is your name. He's not the big guy in the sky, he's not the big man up there, right? He is God, he is holy, okay? Now, yeah, but we have this special relationship, right? Well, I had a special relationship with my dad too. I'll tell you what, there's one thing. Maybe you got away with this, but not in my house. In my house, you did not call my dad the old man. Don't even try it. I did. Actually, a friend of mine tried it first. That was a mistake. Actually, it wasn't even about him. It was about his dad. And my dad came unglued on him. Okay. So me being somewhat smart, thought, don't ever do that. Okay. Okay. Now, my dad, he might have raised himself on the street from when he was like 6 years old, but he had some limits on how things were. So as we pursue this, so how many of you want a relationship with the Father in heaven? So how are we going to do this relationship? We're going to have to do it through his way, right? Not my way, because you know, my way is going to be skewed somehow because of all the different things that are coming in to us. So we're going to have to realize that if we're going to come into his kingdom, we're going to have to do it his way, under his rule, his parameters, okay? And so we can't have that relationship that we're supposed to have with him unless we come under his authority. Does that make sense? It's like, you know, if you work for a company, and your requirement is to be there from 8 to 5, you know, in the morning to the afternoon, and you don't want to do that, what do? Either go get another job that requires you to be there from 8 to 5, right? or you just don't go to work. Because that's their rules. You know, so now I've shared this with some of you before, but I had this young lady that was working for me, she was, you know, a good little worker and all this stuff. She was actually in high school at the time, and she started missing work a little bit, and it started being late, you know, so I called her in my office and says, hey, look, we can't have this, and I hired you to do this job, and blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, but I'm busy with my church. And I said, well, okay, that's admirable. She says, but I'm paying you to do a job. So you need to be here from, her hours were 4 to 8, because she was a student. I said, yeah, you have to be here from 4 to 8, Monday to Friday. That's the way it is. He says, yeah, but. And I says, no, there's no buts in this. If you want to work here, want to work for me, you're going to be here from 4 to 8. And if you don't want to do that, then you can either quit now, or next time you don't show up for work at 4 o'clock, I'm going to terminate you. This wasn't the first warning, by the way. So the next day, you know, she starts crying and she's bawling and goes back to her workstation. So the next day, I get a call from the guard's desk, and the guard's desk says, "Randy, the Mr. Larson, this little girl's name was Larson. Mr. Larson is up here at the front desk, and he wants to have a meeting with you." And I'm thinking, "You got to be kidding me." I'm not looking for a fight or to get shot or stabbed or anything here. And so I says, well, send him into the cafeteria. I'll meet him in the cafeteria, because it was kind of the time when a lot of people were taking breaks. I mean, this was a building. We had like 2,000 people in there. So there was always a bunch of people in the cafeteria. So I said, just send him in the cafeteria, and I'll go in there and I'll meet him in there. And so I walk up the cafeteria, and I'm looking in the room. You know, where's this guy? Yeah, I mean, I was really apprehensive. I had no idea what this guy was going to do. You know, I mean, this was his little daughter, right? And the boss just threatened to fire her. So I see him over there, so I go sit down. I said, Mr. Larson? He says, yes. And you're Mr. LeBlanc? Yep, you can call me Randy, okay. And so I sit down, and he says, okay, I just want to thank you. For what? Well, we've never been able to tell our daughter no. Whatever she wanted, we would just give it to her. And so we have issues at home with her at home, because she doesn't, you know, we just give her carte blanche, and we have a hard time controlling her. You're the first person that's ever told her no. See, I don't think it's an employer's job to raise your kids, personally. Okay, that was my personal opinion. Anyway, it ended well. I didn't get shot, stabbed, or cussed out. So it was a good meeting. So anyway, so if our rules are run by our rules, and our rules aren't his rules, then our house rules are going to be in conflict with the kingdom. Okay? If my personal rules aren't in line with his kingdom, then my personal rules, you know, my limitations, my moral integrity, my character is not in line with his, then I'm going to be in conflict with him. Okay? So, if our church has different rules than what he's laid out for the church, then we're going to be in conflict with his house, right? All right. So we need to make sure we get our, you know, rules lined up, you know, with him. If a nation doesn't run its government in line with his rules, his right, then that government is going to get messed up. That state, that city, that county, that whatever. You know, are we seeing any of that today?
No.
Now, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's horrible what's going on out there. So the problem is that, you know, can be, and in many places is that we have people who want to be in God's kingdom, right? But they don't want to adhere to his house rules. Okay? So this is what he wants us to understand. You know, he says, my kingdom, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Whose kingdom? His kingdom. Okay, I got news for you. Ready for this? If you're taking notes, you might write this down. It's not your kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It's his kingdom that's going to come. Okay, his kingdom. So when we're praying to him, we go, your kingdom come. Right? So this is what's really going on. We want to bring, when we pray that, your kingdom come, we want what's going on in heaven to come down to here to our level. We want his kingdom to manifest in this kingdom down here, right? Where we're at, okay? So we want to bring heaven to earth, right? So if we want to bring heaven to earth, then we have to do what? We have to keep his parameters, his rules. We have to accept them, even if you don't want them. Even if you don't like them, right? You know, a lot of rules we go, I just don't really want to do that. You know, I mean, it's like the scripture that says, when you pray, go into your closet, shut the door. I don't really want to do that. Okay? You've just blocked your avenue of communication to heaven. You've just blocked it. I don't want to do that. So really, it doesn't come down to what do you want. It's what does he want? Because what do you think he wants for you? Bad stuff? I mean, everything he wants for you is good. There's nothing he wants for you that's bad. He is the answer for anything and everything that's going on in your life. Anything, everything. And if you don't believe me, read the Bible. He's not trying to make you sick. He's not trying to make you sin. He's not trying to make you do anything other than bring to you what he has going on in heaven. That's what he wants. You know, there's a great book out there by Bill Johnson, called When Heaven Invades Earth. Write it down, buy it, bring, you know, read it. Great, great book. It really is challenging. It really is challenging. You know, Christians, for the most part, that I seem to come across, want this. They want a genie in a bottle. You know, so when they want something or need something from God, they want to be able to rub the bottle, and then God pop up, pop out of it, do what they want done, you know, and then go back into the bottle, and I'll call you on you when I want you to show up again. You know, but he doesn't work that way. He shows up when we start out of a relationship. Our Father, who's in heaven. So it's either a relationship with the Father God, who operates in agape or love, right? He faith works by love, and he is love. So if he's love, why wouldn't we want to get in line with his way of doing things? It just doesn't make sense, you know. Well, the problem that we have is we fight with our flesh. Our flesh wants to do this, and it wants to do that, and wants to do this, and wants to do that. And his rule says, well, I don't want you to do that, because that's not good for you. That's going to kill you. Right? Okay. So in John, chapter 18, you know, when Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate, he was asked this question by Pilate. In John 18:33, he says, are you the king of Jews? And then in verse 36, Jesus answered, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. But then he says, in the next verse, he says, but you're right, I'm a king. See, and that didn't really go over really well with Caesars back in those days, you know, but Jesus says, yeah, I'm a king, but you know what? My kingdom is not here. My kingdom is from up there. My purpose is to bring up their kingdom down to this kingdom. I'm a king, but I'm not from here. I'm from there. And I have a kingdom up there that I want to bring down to here. Because, you know, really, this is all mine anyway. He didn't say that, but that's what was behind the scenes. So again, when we pray, we start from where? Up there, our Father, who's in heaven, to try to bring down what's in heaven down to here, right? So if we try to take our world up there and sell that to God as how things should work, I'm just going to tell you right now, it isn't going to work. I mean, that would be offensive. God, this is, you know, really, this is what, you just got this wrong. Right? I mean, if you really listen to how people think, you're going to go, that is how we pray sometimes. I've heard women see some guy come through the back door, you know, enter into church, that's married, go, I'm claiming him for me. Because the Bible says I can call things that are not as though they are. It's like, what? You can't do that. You can't claim something that belongs to somebody else. That's demonic. That's what it is. It's demonic. Let's see if we can, you know, we talked about this last week, splitting the family, taking the fathers out of the family. Yeah, let's just satisfy your lust. Let's see if we can destroy this family. That's not God's way of doing stuff, right? We don't do it. We don't do it that way. So, when this world was made, it came out of his kingdom, right? Heaven didn't come out of this kingdom. This world was created because God said so, and he set things in motion. So let's don't do it backwards. Let's see what his will is, his way of doing things, and then let's do it his way. Why? Why do we want to do it that way? Well, because if we do it that way, then we're getting him involved in it, because our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. I want, really what you're saying, when your kingdom come, that means I am submitting to you. Right? All right, so what qualifies you to pray this prayer? I guess we need to know that, right? So we know a little bit about the kingdom, but now I need to know, so what qualifies me to pray? What qualifies me to pray this prayer, the model prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13, 14 and 15? What qualifies you to do that? He has to be your father. How does he become your father? How do we get to God? Through Jesus Christ, right? So how do we get to Jesus? We accept him as our Lord and Savior. And when we accept him as Lord and Savior, now I have a right to go to heaven, right? Because Jesus says the only way to the Father is through him, right? So now I got a ticket. I can go to the Father. Okay? Now remember, his heavenly kingdom's still up there, but we're trying to get the heavenly kingdom here. And the way to get the heavenly kingdom down here is to go through Jesus to the Father. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay? Are you with me, or am I? We're doing okay? Okay, so he said to Nicodemus, in John 3:3, he said, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. You can't experience it. So you got to be born again, right? And I, looking around here, I think most of you are in that place. But you are not going to experience the kingdom of God, even if you're born again, okay? That gets you into heaven, but that doesn't mean you're going to experience the kingdom of heaven if you're not a full-time discipleship of the Father in heaven. I just made some of you mad, probably. We got to be disciples, man. If you're not a disciple, you're not going to know what's what. That's where you should say amen. If you're not a disciple, you're not going to know. You're going to assume based on some podcast you heard. You're going to assume because some preacher told you something. You're going to assume because some friend over a cup of coffee said this. You're not going to know because you know. And we got to get to the point when we're talking to the Father, we know that what his word says is for me. It's not for, you know, when I read the word, it's like, yeah, it's for you, but I have to, you know, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me. And there's other parts of the word where it's this is for us. This is for us. I mean, I'm talking about getting radical here. Real radical. When you pray, go in the closet, shut the door. Talk honestly, openly. You got a problem? Tell him about it. Well, he knows. He wants to be involved in the conversation. He wants to know that your life might suck right now. He knows it, but he wants to talk to you about it because he wants to know. He wants to talk to you about it because he says, you know, I got a way for you to get out of this. I got a way. I got to work around. You know, and you might say, I'm even working on it right now. You just don't know it. You just can't see it. But trust me, if you stay in this place, heaven's coming. Things are going to change. Things are going to change. You know, so you can get to heaven as a Christian, but unless you're a full-time disciple, you're not going to see heaven here like you want to. And isn't that the point of our prayer? You just see heaven here. So let's take a look at this a little bit deeper. Okay. So, do I have any scholars in here? Good. No. Okay. All right. Just want to make that perfectly clear. Neither am I. And hang on a second. I lost my place. I know what I'm going to say, but I lost my place. All right, well, how does that happen? John, how does that happen? Here it is. Okay, I found it. It's like, what? I didn't even push it, but I just touched the screen. And he comes up with a blank page. It's like, no. Okay, so in theology, there's this thing. This when you're talking about the kingdom, this thing called, okay, and you know, I didn't discover this myself, but you know, I read about this the other day. It's called dialectic. Okay, when we talk about the kingdom of God, there's a dialectic thing going on, which means there's a tension in theology. Okay, so the Bible talks about the kingdom that is, right? And it also talks about the one that is to come. So there's one that is up there now, right? You know, we live in the now kingdom, all right? But there's another one that's coming. And so a lot of people kind of get the two confused, right? And so the one that's coming, right, the not yet one now, you know, it's called the millennial reign is when Jesus comes back to the earth and sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and then he rules the whole earth from there in person. See, right now you can't go knock on the door and walk into his room and say, Jesus, I need to talk to you. You can't physically, right? You can't do that. Okay. But there's a kingdom coming, but we're not talking about that kingdom that's coming. We're talking about his kingdom in the here and now, or as one pastor said one time, he says, the nasty here and now. Okay. You know, I think we're in the nasty here and now. So when we look forward to that time when Jesus is going to set his kingdom up here on heaven, because it says for 1,000 years, it's going to be awesome. Not going to be any problems. It's just going to be peace. The lions and the lambs are going to lay down together. Children are going to be born not into trouble, but into peace. And that doesn't happen today. It's going to be awesome. 1,000 years of just peace. And it says he's going to rule with an iron rod, which means he ain't taking no stuff, right? I mean, this is the way it is. This is the black, this is the white, and this is the way it is. And yet, you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do, because it says it's going to be peaceful. Wouldn't that be nice? Peaceful to be able to turn on the television maybe and see nothing but peace on television, not these agendas, you know, anti-man agendas, anti-government, anti-Christian, all these agendas that are out there. No persecution. Oh. So just for your information, that's in Isaiah 65 where he talks about that. It says that during that time, he's going to turn the swords into plowshares. It's going to be a time of peace. It's not going to be turning plowshares into swords. It's going to be turning swords into plowshares. So we're in the now kingdom. We're not in that kingdom. We're in the here and now kingdom, okay? So this is where, but we still get his rule, okay? We get his rule. In the coming millennium reign, It's going to be like a dictator. He says, this is the way it's going to be. And this is how you're going to do it. And we're all going to go, yeah, because you know why? Because it's going to be peaceful. But we're not in that one yet, okay? But he still has authority and rule here through you, through the Holy Spirit, okay? So in the next one, he's coming. He's going to rule in person. But now he rules from heaven through us, okay, by his Spirit, all right? That's how we do it now. That's how he's going to do it now. That's how come people can go totally contrary to what he wants to do, because they're not in tune. They haven't accepted Jesus as Lord. They're not in tune with the kingdom of heaven. They're not in tune with God. They don't know the word. They're just living day to day. So when Jesus gets here, you know, back in the millennium reign, then we'll be able to go knock on the door, walk in, and talk to him. But right now we can't. We have to do it, you know, through the Spirit. Okay. So we're in the here now kingdom, not the one that's coming. And his communication, or he device that he has that we use, is called prayer. That's what we do. We pray. We talk. You know, and another word for prayer could be talking to him. Prayer makes it sound so religious, right? We're talking to him. We're going to talk to him. So when we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, we're saying that I'm willing to put my life, my wife's life, our family, under the authority of his kingdom, under his house rules. It's called discipleship. I am his disciple. Okay, I'm also coming under the lordship of Jesus. Period. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. Okay, so according to him, okay, then all of my life needs to be lived under Jesus. And what does that mean? If he has authority, then that means what? That means that whatever he tells me to do, I got to do. Whatever I got to do. So think about this. When you join the army, any military? We got some military guys in here. We got a few of you in here. Okay, so when you join the army, what did it cost you to join? It was free, wasn't it? I mean, you sign on the dotted line and show up, right? It didn't cost you anything. But they got to tell you what to do, right? One of the most interesting YouTube videos I've ever seen was when the recruits got off the bus at a Marine camp and were headed in. They had their civvies on, they had their hair long, they had all this stuff, and man, it was chaos for a day. Getting their hair shaved, their clothes changed, jumping up and down, around. It was like, you know, go find it on YouTube. You'll just thank God you didn't go into Marines like John did. So anyway, my cousins told me about what it's like in the Marines, and I thought that's why I don't want to go in there. Anyway, so when you go in the military, you don't get to decide what to do. They tell you when to get up. They tell you when you're going to go to bed. They tell you when you're going to go to the bathroom. They tell you when you're going to eat. They're going to tell you what you wear. That's just the way it is because you're in the army now, right? Well, basically, when we become a Christian, we're in God's army, and guess what? He gets to do what? Tell us what to do if we want heaven to come to earth. What's it cost to join his army? Nothing. But we say, on this side, we go, it cost me everything. But it really didn't cost us anything to sign up. We answered a call. So here's the thing. I'm going to say it again. If he can't own you, then you're going to be in opposition to his kingdom. You're going to be in opposition to his house. You're going to have conflict. So really this is what needs to happen. Matthew 6:33, we know what that scripture says. It says, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. Is there anything you need today? Nobody? Nobody has a need? So you want me to tell you how to get it? We just read it, didn't we? Seek what? His? It's in His kingdom. He's got it. I hope this prayer is starting to kind of open up to it. This is more, you know, we have said this prayer for so many years, and we've just, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us the trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. It's just words. When we start looking and breaking this thing down, it's like, oh, baby, there's some stuff going on here. So He's not interested in you, because He says, seek first the kingdom of God. He's not interested in you doing things the world's way. Right? Because how's that working for the world right now? It's not working real well, is it? You know, so when we get our life in line with what the Word says, right, then guess what? Things begin to straighten out. Things begin to go the way they should. You know, you don't go read a book and go to seminar, go to some seminar, and then get a whole bunch of information that's contrary to the Word of God on how to live and run your family, and then take it to God and ask Him to accept it. You know, that's just offensive to Him. It would be to me. You come into my house, okay, Randy, I'm coming to your house, but these are the rules that we're going to live by. And then you go, I don't think so. Tim, it's not going to happen. We're not going to work that way. Okay? So we can't bring somebody else's rules into His house. It's just not going to work. Right? So God got it down. Do you think God's stupid? You think He has to, like, experiment? No, he set the rules down. He says He doesn't change. Okay? So, hey, this is how it works. I mean, you think about Him. He's so awesome. We see what we see. But then if you were to take a microscope and drill down into every little thing in here, because it's all made up of molecules, which are made up of atoms, and then you get down to the atoms, you get down to the subatomic level. I mean, it just gets tiny, 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 tiny. And then on the other hand, if you go the other way and you go out, head out of here into space, you see how big, how many billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of galaxies that are out there that are full of billions and billions and billions of stars. It's like, yeah, He had a plan. I mean, we don't realize just how awesome our Father in heaven really is. And you know, how it all began, you know, there's all this theory, you know, it's like there was the Big Bang, and some pastors don't believe in that, some do, and there's this way and there's that way. And, you know, I don't know however it happened, but when He said light be, it was. And I believe I just believe this in my heart. When He said light be, He had it all put together. He had it all figured out. He knew about you. He knew about me before He even said light be. He had a plan for you and for me before He said, light be. I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me, like, feel small. But then on the other hand, the Word tells us that I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I'm seated with Jesus Christ right next to the Father in heaven. Well, I don't feel like I'm seated there. Well, that's probably because we haven't been really seeking Him as much as we should be, in the manner that we should be. Paul said this. You can look it up. because I don't remember where he said it, but he said this, that he always wants to please Him. He always wants to please Him. So is what am I doing pleasing? Is what is the words coming out of my mouth, are they pleasing Him? You know, we were talking about this a week or two ago about murmuring. You know, does that please Him? No. Does speaking His word please Him? Believing His word please Him? Not being moved off of His word please Him? You know, because see, that's how we bring heaven to earth, by getting a hold of what He said and standing on it. I remember that very first cassette series I ever heard on fear and faith, and said, I don't have to be sick. And I remember hearing that. I'm driving to work at midnight. I'm going, man, I'm listening to this, and I'm getting all excited. I'd been listening to it for like 2 weeks, and then it hit me. Faith comes by hearing, right? And so hearing. So I'm hearing this word. And all of a sudden, the realization came, I don't have to be sick, because this is what His word says. Well, it doesn't mean sickness isn't real. It is real. The COVID, it's real, right? I got a neighbor right now that's, you know, he's in his bedroom. I mean, he can go from his bedroom to his chair. That's about it right now. It's real. All right? So you can't stick your head in the sand and say, well, sickness isn't real, because sickness is real, because there's a real devil out there. All right? But he said, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. He said he sent his word and healed me. Right? I just over and over and over, you know, we read that in the word. And you know, sometimes people say, well, that all passed away with the last apostle. Well, I'm here to tell you, it did not pass away with the last apostle. Throw all that other garbage out. That's not true. My wife is proof. I'm proof. Monica's proof. Mary's proof. I prayed for a lot of people who have been healed. I prayed for a lot of people that haven't either. But that's not my deal. Okay? I mean, there's things in my life I'm still praying for. You know, but you guess what? I'm not letting up. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, you know, if you were, you know, read about him, I mean, that guy, he healed hundreds of people, raised like 27, I think it's 27 people from the dead. Dead people. Pulled them up out of their coffin, put them up against the wall and said, walk! They'd slide down. He'd pick them back up, slam them against the wall, and they would slide down. He'd pick them back up. In the name of Jesus, walk. And then they'd walk. One night, he's in bed, and all of a sudden, the bed started moving across the room when he's in it. There's a devil in his room. You know, the devil's real. The devil's in his room. He's moving his bed. Moving his bed around. So anyway, so he kicks the devil out of his room and he says, well, wait a minute, come back. Put the bed back. Bed goes back. You know. This man, the only thing, I mean, I'm not telling you to do this. I mean, it's not the only thing I read, but the only thing he would read, and he was in the, I think he died in the 40s, the only thing he would read was the Bible. I mean, that's just the way. This man, and he was a man of prayer, a man of the word. And he would, there's a story about when he was on a train one time, when he's on the train, and he gets up to go use the restroom or whatever. And while he was gone, because of the anointing that was on him, he comes back, and all the people that were in that part of the train with him were on their face, being convicted of sin and asking Jesus to forgive them. Like, yes, you want that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So, I mean, see, that's not for you. No, so then at the same time, he had kidney stones. Is that right? Correct me. He had kidney stones for like 3 years. And he would go preach, and he got these kidney stones, and they were so painful. And actually, after he would get done preaching, he'd be covered in blood sometimes from the kidney stones or whatnot. I mean, he was in pain for like 3 years. In the meantime, he's healing all kinds of people, raising the dead. So just because I might be dealing with something in myself doesn't mean it's not true. And then eventually he got healed. He had this confession that he made. No knife, because see, back in his time, when somebody died, they always did an autopsy, every time. And he made this confession that nobody will ever cut my body. And nobody ever cut his body. Even when he died, they never did an autopsy on him. And on the kidney stones, they didn't do an operation. He just got healed. I mean, it's just, it's there. And it's for us, guys, if we'll just seek him. So we get to choose and pick. What rules are we going to like or dislike, you know? God's not, heaven's not a buffet, right? I mean, we can go through here. You know, I swear, some people read their Bible and they go, come to some, oh, I don't like that. And they pull out, you know, they don't pull out the red or yellow or blue marker. They pull out the black one and they mark that. I said, I don't want to, what do you mean forgive other people? We don't, you know, and they just, I think some people even like take a knife and cut some of those things out because they don't want to do that. Not his way. He tells us to forgive other people so that we might be forgiven. If you don't forgive other people, you're letting other people rule your life. You know that? You don't never know. I remember my mother one time. when they outlawed saccharin. Remember, saccharin was a sugar substitute, and they outlawed it. And I'm at the grocery store with my mother for some reason, and she says, "I hope that person that outlawed this, I hope he burns in hell." Oh, wow. Chill a little bit, you know. I mean, I like saccharin. Well, that's not the point. I think they showed it wasn't good for you. I don't care. I liked it, you know. See, that's not forgiveness, you know. All right, so remember Jesus and Mary when they were at this wedding and they ran out of wine, right? And what did Mary say? Whatever he says, right? These are words to live by. Whatever he says, do it. See, that's not a saying from Nike. That's a saying from Mary, not Nike. Whatever he says, just do it. And so what did they do? They went and got the jugs, and they filled them with water, and they brought them back to the wedding, and then they started pouring out. And what came out? Not the cheap stuff. The good stuff. See, he always does better than what the world can do. Man, where'd you get this stuff? I mean, you always say this to the, you know, we don't do this at the beginning. You know, you save it till the end. It's like, no, Jesus made it. You know, we just did what he said to do. You know, and so here's the thing. So if we just do what he said to do, things go well. We don't do what he said to do, things don't, they really don't go so well. Right? So that's why we have a Bible to teach us the rules. How to, you know, what are his rules? What are his parameters? What is, you know, do you think he wants you to be prosperous? Do you think he wants you to be poor, broken, you know, disgusted? No. Do you think he wants you to be sick? Because, I mean, would you want that for your kids? So he, being a perfect father, wouldn't, and you don't want that for your kids, well then he, being the perfect father, wouldn't want that for you either, because you're one of his kids, right? So even if you don't agree with what he tells you to do, what do? You go with it, right? If you don't like it, what do? Because you will begin to like it. You will begin to agree with it. You know, what if you don't want to do it? Do it anyway, okay? Because what we're doing is we're fighting our flesh all the time. I don't want to. I just want to watch the ball game. I don't want to sit down and have to read my Bible. I just want to watch a ball game. Leave me alone. Okay, watch the ball game, but still go pray. Go put in some word time. Okay, talk to him about what you know. Maybe, you know, this is one of my things when I talk to him is, where am I missing it? Where am I missing it? I mean, I've been doing this a long time. Guess what? I still miss it. I still make mistakes. I still, you know, I mean, I don't get up in the morning and go, okay, you know, how can I sin today? I don't do that, right? You don't do that. But we still do, right? You know, so Lord, where am I missing it? And when I start to do those things that I don't want to do, because, right? We don't want to do it, but we do it. So when I'm about to do what I don't want to do, would you have the Holy Spirit like yell at me, speak to me loudly, right? He wants to do that. But you got to be sure that you're willing to go underneath his authority, underneath his word. I mean, all of it, not just some of it, but all of it. He's in charge. You want, I'm telling you, if you want things to go well, do what? Do it. You know, every now and then I run into this. The husband says, my wife won't submit to me. And I go, so, who are you submitted to? Even Jesus submitted to somebody. Right? So where do we get off thinking we don't have to submit to somebody? or you're submitted to the TV or video games or, well, that's pretty much the consensus today. Those are the two biggies, you know. So then I like to follow it up with this. If you'll submit your life to Jesus in the manner that Jesus tells you to submit to, she will submit to you. I don't know if I like that or not, Pastor. Well, there's some wisdom in this book called A Tale of Two Cities, written by Charles Dickens. It's about the French Revolution. And he makes this statement in there. And I don't know why I learned this in high school when I read it. And by the way, it was the only book I ever read in high school. And but there was this statement in there that says, "Hell hath no fury like that of a woman." Woman scorn. Okay, it's been a long time, but it's just how I remember it. And it's the bottom, huh? Yeah, it is the same thing. The bottom line is of this is, if you're not submitting to God, you're going to deal with her. You know, and there's another scripture in Proverbs that if you don't do what the woman that, you know, that she can be like a dripping faucet. And then it says, it's better for you to go live on the top of the building in the corner than it is in the house. You know, so if we just submit to Jesus, it takes care of all that. Because then she'll get, as you get in line, she'll get in line. As you two get in line, your kids will get in line. It's the way the kingdom was set up. Okay? Is that making sense? Okay, so are you kind of getting how the kingdom thing works? Right? So, second here, I'll get ahead of myself. It's so easy for me to get. I always want to get right to the finish when we start. You know, we'll just be done. But so again, here he's talking about not the coming kingdom, but the kingdom that's here now. Not the, you know, not the not here kingdom, but the one that's here now. So I need my, we can say this. I need my pain to go away. I need my sicknesses to go away. I need my finances healed. I need my relationships healed. Right? So a lot of people say, well, when you get to heaven, your pain will be healed. Your sickness will be healed. Your relationships will be healed. Your finances will be healed. No. Thank you for that. I agree with that. But you know what? I need it in here now. I don't need it in the then. I need it now. And I'm saying, bless God, you got a reason to get it now because there's a way to get it now. So to see his blessings come, put yourself under his authority and rule your life by his rules. And then as you do that, now let me back up just a little bit. So how long, Pastor, does that take to happen? It probably isn't going to happen overnight. It's a progressive thing. It's like, you know, I say this all the time. Christianity is a journey. We start here. I've got all these issues. I've got all these problems. And to get over here where I need to be, I got to go through a whole bunch of. I got to learn His Word. I got to spend time in prayer. I got to learn what He wants me to learn. I got to work on myself. You know, but He'll work on myself if I'll let Him work on myself. I got things I need cleaned up, and He says, "Well, I'll clean you up. Get saved first. Seek Me. I'll fix you." And then we'll come out on the other side. And so you'll go from being just not just a disciple of Jesus, but you become a discipler of Jesus. You see, our job is not just to be here and fix ourselves and have heaven on earth. Our job is to fix ourselves and then fix other people. You know, with his power, right? So we progressively, as we progressively learn his rules and his parameters, then we will progressively put ourselves under his authority. It's not going to all happen at the same time, but we it's a progressive thing. And then his kingdom begins to rule here in my life. Heaven then will begin to show up here. Good God things will begin to manifest in my life here. He'll no longer be just a concept, big guy in the sky. You know, he won't be that anymore. He'll be God, and he'll be a reality in my life. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, he says, he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them the power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them, what did he do? He gave them authority. He gave them a kingdom and he gave them authority. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, he says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So he says, in his kingdom, when we do this, then we're going to be walking in power. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, he says, okay, listen, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were what? Baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing that there were miracles and signs which were done. So how did the miracles, the signs and wonders come to manifest? What was Philip preaching? What's it say he was preaching? Verse 12. You bring verse 12 back up, John? Somebody watching on the video, what's he doing? Oh, I'm working out, you know. Did we lose it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What do you want me to repeat? Oh, 1 Corinthians 4:20 and then Acts 8, 12 to 13. 8, 12 to 13. That's why I'm putting it on the webpage. Just... He was preaching what? The kingdom, right? He preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. What did John the Baptist preach? The kingdom of God is at hand, right? Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, right? I mean, you look up the kingdom of God in the Bible, and it's out there a lot. This is important, you know, what we're talking about. Oh, man. John, I got something I need you to show me. He keeps doing this thing. So Philip was preaching the kingdom of God, and what showed up? Miracles showed up. He wasn't the pastor, right? He was translated. You know, any Trekkie fans in here, right? So you know, John, you're the Trekkie guy. What's that? Transporter? You know, you know, Star Trek has the transporter. You know, they transport from beam me up, Scotty, all that kind of stuff. Well, Philip, he was beamed from one point to another point. You know. And that stuff's going to happen again. Well, no, that all passed away. Stop with that passed away stuff, because it didn't pass away. All right? I mean, where does it say that? You give me chapter and verse on that, you know, and then maybe I'll go for it. But you can't. So, so and then Luke 22:9, he says to them that he bestowed upon them a kingdom just as the Father bestowed upon him. So this kingdom thing is for you to operate in. Those miracles, signs, and wonders are out there for you to operate in. Okay, so back to the husband thing here. 1 Peter 3:7. This is awesome. Right? Because a lot of guys go, you know, I'm the boss of my house, and you know, she's going to do what I tell her to do. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. There's a song out there that says, I can think anything in my house I want to, as long as she's not around. You know. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, okay, husbands, deal with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. All right? Okay, now there's the, now I haven't gone into it much today, but there's the woman side of this too, okay? So I don't want you guys thinking that you're the only problems in here, you know, that are in here, because that's not the case. We're all a problem, one way or another. So if you want to legitimately come under the authority and treat your mate right, don't go to God, ask him to fix it, because you're not under authority. They're not under your authority because you're not under his authority, right? So what's the answer? Get under authority. Lord, I'm making a decision today. I'm going to seek you every day. I'm going to seek you all the time. I'm going to read your Bible, your word, every day. And I'm going to do what I read in the Bible. Now, so I'm having a conversation with him. Now, I may mess up here and there. And then he goes, yeah, right. Okay. We're having a conversation. Yeah, you will. But when I do, I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And he goes, I will. And then together, then Lord, with your help, I'll try not to do it again. I'll do my best. And if it's something really serious, maybe I'm going to come back and talk to you about it. Or then maybe, you know, and you guys, this is valid. It's like, well, maybe you, if you're really struggling with something, you need to call somebody and talk to them. Get some face-to-face, whatever. It's okay. Call somebody. I'm already struggling with this today. I need some help. Because I want to do what I'm not supposed to do. And I don't know how to not do what I'm not supposed to do. Will you help me? And we should all go, yeah, man, we're all right there with you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, when I was at CF, we had this. There's two guys that I worked with. We had an agreement that when things got bad, because it would be frustrating at times. It's a corporate, you know, lots of people, lots of bosses. We would get into such a place sometimes where we were just fit to be tied. It's like, those guys don't get it. And you would want to get so mad. You'd want to throw chairs. You'd want to do all the things that you're not supposed to do. You know, all those unprofessional things. So we had this agreement that we could go into each other's offices, close the door, you know, when they're in there, because you got to have somebody to do this with. So you go into the, and you close the door, you shut the blinds. That was the clue that you got the floor. And you could say anything you wanted to say. You could scream, you could yell, you could do whatever you wanted to do. And then when you're done, open the blinds, open the door, and walk out. We need friends like that sometimes. I mean, we can do that with God, but sometimes it's nice to have a face to like, right? And then to go, yeah, right, you know, and then leave. So don't be afraid to do that. Okay? And if you have one of those days like that, call Sue, okay? Now, so you see what I'm saying? We just get under his authority. Do things his way, and the things will get good. Not just better, good. He's a good God. He wants every one of you to have more than enough. Why? Why does he want you to have more than enough? Because he wants what? He wants you to be a blessing, right? You say, well, I don't have enough to be a blessing. Well, somebody else has less than you do. So you're not enough can be somebody else's more than enough. There's always somebody out there that needs what you have. And then doesn't the word say that, you know, sowing and reaping? There's a rule about, so if I sow, then I'm going to reap. I mean, he says so much about finances in the Bible, you know, that, and it's not to take from you, but to increase you.
Exactly.
Well, those people don't like me, and so I'm holding this against them. He says, forgive them. That's sowing, so that he will forgive you. That's reaping. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. I don't care what they did. No, there was a time, it was really interesting, where I had gone, I had been doing a series on forgiveness. This was a long time ago. And I don't know what exactly what or how, what God was doing in this, but I did this series, and then and there were people that had left the church because they were offended. And three of those people looked me up within 2 weeks. But let me say this, before that, during that series, the thing about when I do a series like this, it ministers to me first, and then I get to give it to you second. So as I'm doing that series, I'm thinking about people that I haven't forgiven, or I've been holding things against. And so I began to forgive them. And every now and then I'll be driving down the road and I'll start thinking about something, and one of those people that I've forgiven will come back up. But the Holy Spirit says, I thought you forgave him. Yep, we did. Yep. I'm not thinking about that. But during that time, you know, I went out and I got before God and I said, you know, I've been doing this and this and this against these people. And I said, I'm sorry, forgive me. And so right after that, within a couple of weeks, those three of those people came to me, hunting me down, and asked me to forgive them. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I'd already dealt with that, so that wasn't ruling me. But the Holy Spirit was talking to them, and I think teaching them a lesson too. So he works, you know. God works in mysterious ways. You never know what he's going to do. Yeah, you can, because he says. He's revealed them to us by his Spirit. So if we're listening to his Spirit, he's going to teach us, direct us, in the way that we should go.